Imagine a late 1950s living room. A father's coat on the hook, a pan cooling on the stove, the smell of meatloaf drifting down the hall. A small radio on the mantel is warming up for the evening cereal. The family's day, clocked in and out of factories and offices, settles into the small ritual of the night. It's here, in the soft glow of lamplight and the cadence of routine, that money and meaning quietly met. Pay envelopes were opened, shopping lists were dictated, bills were discussed. Evenings, in other words, became the household's financial heartbeat.
Good evening, and welcome to Financial Time Machine. I'm Megan Thomas. Tonight, we're stepping back into another chapter of everyday American life, exploring the money, culture, habits, and quiet routines that shaped previous generations. From grocery stores and family dinners to old advertisements and the way people once thought about debt and security, this podcast is a journey through the forgotten rhythms of American life. Somewhere between nostalgia and history, there's usually a lesson. Let's find it.
To understand why evenings mattered, we have to picture work and home life between the 1940s and 1970s. Most jobs had set hours, a start, a stop, a payday on Friday or the last workday of the month. Commute rhythms funneled households back to predictable hours. Supper at 6, radio at 7, store windows lit by dusk. That predictability did more than create convenience. It created opportunity. Families learned to schedule financial conversations into the only quiet hour they could reliably expect. Payrolls arrived on a cadence that matched supper rhythms, so decisions about savings, the grocery list, and installment payments often happened at the kitchen table after dusk. The evening was in effect the household ledger's daily close. Envelopes opened, numbers added, priorities set.
And then there was media, radio first and television soon after, which turned family schedules into shared cultural prompts. Radio serials and the early TV schedule created communal appointment times. Everyone tuned in at the same hour. Advertisers learned to reach an entire living room at once, and those commercial breaks were rhythmic nudges. A detergent sold between scene 2 and 3, a refrigerator promoted during weather reports. Primetime ads did more than sell products. They set expectations. When an announcer said, "Available this weekend at Main Street Hardware," neighbors heard the same offer and often decided together to stop by after work. These synchronized moments made purchasing predictable, not necessarily spontaneous in the way we think of impulse today, but communal. The advertisement became part of the evening's conversation, a topic for the supper table, or a prompt for a weekend errand.
At home, rituals did the heavy lifting of budgeting. The pay envelope was a physical prompt, tangible cash or a check that had to be allocated. After supper, someone would break open the envelope. Numbers were read aloud, the grocery list was adjusted, and the electric bill would be set aside for the following week. Lists were handwritten on notepads. Stores were visited once or twice a week, not constantly. Conversations after dinner, sometimes terse, sometimes gentle, mapped out priorities. There was a discipline baked into those routines. When you only made purchasing decisions at certain moments, you built a buffer against the tiny day-by-day drips of spending that have become normal today.
Even Main Street participated in the evening economy. Shopkeepers timed sales to catch the after-work crowd. Diners stayed busy serving night shift workers and families alike. Full-service gas stations and small grocers offered human interaction, a chat with the owner, a quick credit tab set up against a name. Those local exchanges reinforced community norms about repayment and trust. If you lived on the same block as the grocer, your choices had social consequences. People shopped inside relationships, not anonymous carts. Impulse still existed, a neat window display, a recommended pie at the diner, but it was bracketed by neighbors and routines, which often nudged people toward restraint rather than excess.
So what did we gain from those evening structures, and what did we lose when evening splintered? On the plus side, predictable rhythms taught planning. Deferred gratification became an everyday practice because the household had set moments to decide. Community oversight and in-person credit conversations discouraged casual overextension. On the other hand, that same predictability sometimes reinforced limited choices and slow adaptation. When evenings fragmented, with multiple jobs, television choices exploding, and the internet replacing appointment viewing, the gentle force of those rituals diminished. But there are small things we can reclaim tonight. Try these three simple rituals to study modern life. First, designate a single brief household hour after dinner for bills, lists, and a shared check-in. Second, limit shopping to planned windows. Pick one or two weekly trips instead of constant browsing. Third, build a small neighborhood habit, a post-dinner call, text, or walk to reconnect, which recreates the gentle social accountability of Main Street. These small acts won't turn back time, but they can rebuild edges of intention around money and togetherness.
If you try one of those rituals tonight, notice how it changes the feeling of opening your wallet and maybe how dinner conversation shifts. Slow evenings don't remove modern convenience. They frame it. They give us breath and choice. If this episode has left you a little more curious about the ways routines shape your spending, subscribe to Financial Time Machine for more stories from the mid-century and beyond. Dadgum, hit subscribe and travel back with me next time.
And that's where we'll leave our journey tonight. The past may look different through modern eyes, but sometimes hidden inside old routines and forgotten traditions, we find pieces of ourselves we've been missing. Thank you for spending a little time traveling through history with me. Until next time, keep one foot in the past. Good night. And thanks for listening to Financial Time Machine.